Thank you for being with us tonight. If you're here as a guest, we're truly happy you've come, appreciative of the encouragement that your presence brings to us. And if you're here and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, let me bid you to get a Bible somewhere there if you have not brought one with you, and follow along as we study and as we make reference to various texts of Scripture. If you have any question over anything that is said over the course of our message tonight, we certainly would invite you to sit down with us and spend a few moments with open Bible and hopefully with open mind, and we'll be happy to answer any question that you might have related to anything that we've had to say, or anything for that matter that we have done here tonight. So let's begin this evening by talking about, for a moment, a passage in the 2 Thessalonian letter, chapter 2, beginning at verse 13, reading 13 and 14. The idea behind this is the question of whether we are distinctive or indistinguishable. And I think you'll, over the course of our message, begin to appreciate precisely what we mean by that. Now, the passage is one that we talked about on Sunday morning at the Bible study period. And honestly, this is a follow-up to that study. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now the church was created by Almighty God to be a distinctive body of individuals. God planned for us to stand out in whatever society we're found in. Doesn't matter. In the ancient days of the apostles, it was ancient Jewish society at first. And as they moved outward and began to preach the gospel throughout the various sectors of the Roman Empire, the provinces of that country, the Bible tells us that they were distinctive there as well. And as the years have gone by, the question of distinctiveness is seldom, far too seldom, I would say, asked and talked about. And so it's that that we want to address tonight. The word itself, ecclesia, the word for church, that describes this body of brethren that is described here as being called out. We understand that they're called out of the world and called into a blessed relationship with God our Father and with Jesus Christ his Son. But that word, ecclesia, to call out, gives us the impression from the start of a distinctive relationship. The distinctiveness is also indicated, I believe, by the fact that the New Testament describes these people as a people who are saints. I recognize that the popular understanding of the usage of that word is not consistent with the biblical teaching on the matter. Many people, when they hear that word saint, they always comes the idea of someone who has died and gone on to their reward, someone who was a very blessed and wonderful Christian in their lifestyle and so forth, and so left a great example. Well, that's not the biblical meaning. Now, it of course is implied that those who are the saints of God are people who do leave a great example, but instead of people who have died and gone on, they're people who are still living and are still here. That's the intention. That we should be still living and still here, and yet we're exemplary. We're to stand out from the crowd and be, as the Bible calls us, a holy people. Israel of old was called a holy people in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy. And the Apostle Peter, in his description of God's people, also includes this notion of a holy people. And so it's found very often. And this idea of distinctiveness is as opposed to the world, to most of the people that you would normally encounter in life. That they're different, quite distinctive in regard to them. Now let me illustrate the concept here. You know what a chameleon is? Perhaps you've seen the recent commercial where they have these various colored glasses, and this chameleon will take its hand or its paw and it'll put it on a blue set of glasses, and it starts turning blue all the way up like that. And then it'll take another step and they'll put a set of green glasses, and it'll put this leg down and that leg will begin to turn green right up here. And before it's over, this chameleon will turn whatever color the set of glasses are that he puts his hands on or his feet on as he grasps this thing. And that, of course, is an amazing feat for anything to be able to do. But I want to set over against that a very opposite notion. We'll come back to that fellow in just a second here. We're not going to leave him. Have you ever heard of a poison dart frog? In the Amazon jungles, there are these things that they call poison dart frogs. And as you're walking through the jungle, you would never miss one. If you passed a chameleon, you would never even know he was there unless you looked very closely. But this poison dart frog is... he's black with blazing yellow